in that area, especially with the industry that is there. But it's good to be here this morning. The lesson of the hour is Ezra, a prepared servant of God. The text of Scripture is taken from Ezra chapter 7 and verses 6 through 10. And this Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given, and the king granted him his request according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. That first verse there in that text could be a sermon in and of itself. And that first verse could be extended into four sermons very easily. Because in that first verse of this text, we see many different thoughts that are presented. And then the very first thought, Ezra went up from Babylon. And you could easily make the application how that Ezra left the world to go to Jerusalem, how that left the world to follow after God, to seek after God. So within that first statement, we see an order of priority in Ezra's life and Ezra's heart. And the statement that follows it up, he was already scribe in the law of Moses, which we will look at within the lesson in more detail. But in essence, what it teaches us, he knew the law. He knew and understood God's word, and which the Lord God of Israel had given. And there's the source of the authority. It was given to him by inspiration. And Peter tells us how the prophets of old received the word of God by inspiration in his second epistle. And then the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. And that particular phrase there, if you wanted the definition of the providence of God, you have it right there in that verse. According to the hand of the Lord. That would be a wonderful definition of the providence of God. If you want to look at an example as a side note from this lesson, you could turn to David and Abigail. How that David faithfully followed God's word, and how that Abigail did what was right according to truth. And in doing so, they completed the providence of God in their lives. And then you could even look further and when we obey God's word and follow His truth today, how that we fulfill the providence of God in our lives. And so that one little statement there brings out a meaning of the providence of God. Verse 7, and there went up some of the children of Israel and of the priests and the Levites and the singers and the porters and the Nethiums unto Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. And for upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon. And on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem according to the good hand of God upon him. You know, we may look at those days there and sort of kind of gloss over that, but that's an important fact. It establishes, one, the fact that the Bible is a historical document, that those things happened and those people are real people in the life of in the history of mankind. And then we get down to verse 10, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. That's the text of our study for the hour. The priest Ezra was a good and faithful servant of the Most High God. He was a man concerned with the spiritual over the physical. He left Babylon for Jerusalem with a remnant of 2,000 plus Jews. It was a leader of God's people who was a descendant of Aaron, the high priest. He was a man of his time who had influence with Artaxerxes, the king of Persia. He believed in the providence of God in the work that had been placed into his hands in Ezra chapter 7, verse 6, verse 9, and verse 26. He was thankful to God for all that had been done in the Lord's name, Ezra chapter 7, verses 27 and 28. Ezra is truly a remarkable servant of God. The events that led up to Ezra being a prepared servant of God, Israel is taken into captivity by Babylon. Shortly thereafter, falls to the Persian Medes Empire. And that's where the nation that Ezra finds himself in. The first year of King Cyrus of Persia, he allows the remnant of God's people to go and build a house for God. And we know that from 2 Chronicles 36 and Ezra 1. The work on the tabernacle began and was stopped, Ezra 4. The prophets Haggai and Zechariah would encourage God's people to continue to build, and the temple would be completed. The book of Esther records the events of God's people in Persia prior to the arrival of Ezra in Jerusalem. And Ezra arrives, and then Nehemiah, and the walls are restored. That's the brief history that brings us to Ezra and to this wonderful chapter and to this wonderful text of Scripture in Ezra chapter 7. These are the events that shape the life and the work of Ezra the priest and the scribe of the law of Moses. First of all, Ezra was a ready scribe of the law of Moses, Ezra 7, verse 6. That is, he was skillful in the law of Moses. Thus, he serves as an example for us to be skillful in the Word of God. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. A scripture that we're all acquainted with and all familiar with in one way or another, from one teaching or from one lesson or another. But here Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 and tells him to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. That is, someone who is skilled like Ezra, the scribe of the law of Moses, that needeth not be ashamed, rightly handling or rightly dividing the word of truth. That is, handle it correctly, not incorrectly. You know, in the world we have so many people that take God's word and just take a scripture here and a scripture there and put an idea to it here and put an idea to it there and completely take it out of its context. If there's one thing that we as students of God's word, and if there's one thing that we can learn from Ezra, is that Ezra understood God's word by context, context, context. And so as Christians, we need to be skilled in God's Word. Hence, it takes diligence and maturity to rightly divide the Word of truth. Ezra was a student of God's Word. Likewise, we must be a student of God's Word. You know, when we turn to a passage such as Hebrews 5 in verses 12, 13, and 14, "For when for a time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness." And certainly, Ezra was not one who was on milk, because he was skilled. He was an artisan of his time in understanding God's word. Because the one who uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, he is a babe. And then verse 14, "But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And we as Christians, the application for us today is that we need to become skillful, or teachers of God's word. Like Ezra, we need to know the difference between what is good and what is wrong and what is evil. And Ezra knew that even in his day and age when he came to God's people, he wept for them because of the sin and the transgression they had got themselves caught up in. And when we look at Ezra 10 in verses 1 and 4, we see here how Ezra dealt with the situation that confronted him as a scribe of the law of Moses. "Now when Ezra had prayed and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore." They wept very sore because of the sin that they had committed that had separated them from God. And it was sin that had taken them into captivity to begin with. And then when we looked in verse 2, "And Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, We have trespassed against our God and have taken strange wives of the people of the land, yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing." The hope in Israel was a man like Ezra who was willing to do the right thing and teach God's people His truth. That hope. The hope was restoring them back to God, that hope. And then in verse 3, "Now therefore let us make a covenant, that is, an agreement with our God, to put away all the wives and such as are born of them according to the counsel of my Lord, and of those that tremble at the commandment of our God." Tremble at the commandment of God. "And let it be done according to the law. Arise, for this matter, this issue, belongs unto thee. we also will be with thee, and be of good courage, and do it. Do what God says to do. Be of courage when you do what God says to do. In order for Ezra to encourage God's people to take the right action, he needed to know the law of God to begin with. Ezra was a faithful servant who knew the difference between right and wrong, between good and evil. He was a ready scribe of the law of Moses, not a novice in understanding truth. Church leaders need to be skilled in the Word of God to be able to stop the influence of gainsayers, Titus 1 and verse 9, to lead God's people in the paths of righteousness, Psalms 23 and verse 3, and Micah 4 and verse 2. As a ready scribe, Ezra is an excellent example for each and every Christian. Secondly, Ezra prepared himself as a servant of God to carry out the commission and duty given to him. Ezra 7 and verse 10. In 2 Kings 20 and verse 1, we read of an example where the prophet Isaiah comes to a wonderful king, Hezekiah. And in those days was Hezekiah sick on the death. The prophet of Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, "Thus saith the Lord." Here's the source of what Isaiah is going to speak unto this king, Hezekiah. "Set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Hezekiah was told by the prophet Isaiah to set his house in order, that is, to prepare himself for death. Prepare yourself, Hezekiah. Each Christian prepares his or her life for the great departure in the doorway of death. But we must prepare our lives as a servant of God, much like Ezra prepared his life in service for God. And like Hezekiah prepared his life in service to God when Isaiah came to him about his approaching death. The prophet Amos, in Amos 4 and verse 2, this farmer from Tekoa, had a great responsibility to go to the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, and speak unto them. And Israel at the time, the people that were there were very educated, very wealthy, caught up and consumed of themselves in the pleasures of this world. And here is this farmer who is a prophet of God, who has to go before these men that the world would think that were far superior than this prophet. But Amos tells this nation in their dreadful state, "Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. Because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." Their coming day of judgment to face the God who would carry out justice upon people who caught up in sin was fast approaching. Israel needed to heed the warning to prepare. One important truth we learn from Ezra is preparation. Each and every Christian prepares himself to meet God. Each and every Christian needs to prepare themselves to fulfill the work that God has given us as Christians to do, just like Ezra did. When we look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 21 and 22, as we prepare our lives to face our God, as we prepare our lives in service to our Lord, Paul tells Timothy these words. He says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these," that is, from being a vessel of dishonor, "he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet," that is, made right for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. "Flee also youthful lusts, and follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart." We purge ourselves from a vessel of dishonor. We purge ourselves from walking in the ways of the world and sanctify ourselves to prepare ourselves as a vessel unto honor. We prepare our lives for the service to God by fleeing youthful lust and follow a path of righteousness which is found within Christ and His Word. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 and Romans chapter 1 verses 16 and 17. Thus Ezra serves as a good and positive example for each and every Christian to emulate or to follow. And then there comes another example, Joshua. In Joshua 24 and verse 15, that noble statement that had been carried down to us by inspiration for these hundreds and thousands of years. And Joshua states it, and if it seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day to whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What a noble statement of leadership. You know, it can be easy for a man to say, I will follow the Lord. But the man to make the statement, as for me and my house, his wife, his children, we will follow the Lord. In order for a man to serve as an elder, it takes the efforts of the entire family. It takes preparation in his youth. Hence, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1 is so true. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. In order for a man to be a leader within God's family, in order for a man to be an elder among his brethren, it takes the effort of the family. It takes men who are willing to be like Joshua, who are willing to follow in examples of Ezra. Leadership takes preparation. Ezra prepared himself for the work of God. Furthermore, Ezra was a man who sought the law or word of God. In Psalms 42, we have a wonderful illustration about seeking after God's word and his law. In verses 1 and 2, as a hart pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? The psalmist desires the Lord in such a way as the body would thirst for water. Our soul must thirst for God in the same way that Ezra sought after the Lord. In the same way that the psalmist describes how the heart pants after that water. Further in Psalms, in Psalms 119, a beautiful chapter to read before our brethren. In verses 129 and verses 133, we read, Thy testimonies are wonderful, and God's word is wonderful. And therefore does my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it gives understanding unto the simple. I open my mouth and pant, for I long for thy commandments. I desire them, as the psalmist would say. I look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word. In essence, our life is directed and governed by God's Word. Our life is ordered by the Word of God. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. The 119th Psalm reveals that the servant of God longed for the commandments of the Lord. We must desire the Lord and seek after Christ. The song that Brother Charles had led us in before the lesson aptly describes our desire for the one who died for us, the one who paid the price for us. The one who made the atonement for mankind from the very beginning to this present age. And thus we must long for our Lord and for our Savior. We must long for God. Matthew 5 and verse 6 in text of Scripture that's referred to as the Sermon on the Mount and a narrow portion of that referring to as the Beatitudes. And in verse 6 says, Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Christian needs to hunger and thirst for righteousness. There needs to be an insatiable desire there by us for God's truth, for His Word to live in our lives. The desire for God must be first in our lives. Our lives revolve around Jesus Christ. He is the center of our lives. Nothing else matters. And that's when Paul writes on to his beloved brethren in Philippi and Philippians 1 and verse 21, He tells them, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul's desire in life was like that of Ezra seeking out God. Peter describes our growth as Christians this way in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Our spiritual growth comes as a direct relationship to our understanding and our knowledge of God's truth. We desire the Word because we grow spiritually from the Word. Romans 10:17 says it this way, So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God or the Word of Christ. Our faith comes directly from the Word of Christ. Hence, like Ezra, we seek God's Word in our lives. The Christian must seek, or must make an effort, to diligently seek after God and His Word. In doing so, we put God and the kingdom first in our lives, Matthew 6 and verse 33. In addition, Ezra did that which God commanded. In James 1 and verse 22, a scripture that was referred to last night, but be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See, if we only listen to that Word, if we only hear that Word, we deceive ourselves. If we're not a practitioner, if we're not doing what God says to do, then deception has taken our heart in a different direction than what God has commanded it to go. When we do what God commands us to do, we please Him. When we fail or neglect to do what God requires of us to do, we displease Him. Ezra was pleasing to God. Thus Ezra did what God commanded him to do. When we looked at a passage such as 1 John 2 and verses 15 and through 17, here John pens by inspiration these words. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. If we do the will of God in our daily lives, we will avoid many sins that may tempt the individual Christian. But if we're not vigilant, we will fall to the temptation of sin and fall away from God. The lesson for us is to do the work that God has given us to do. Be evangelistic. Be edifying. Be benevolent. Do God's work. Do what He's commanded us to do. Matthew 7 and 21, Jesus says it very clearly. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Our eternal home depends upon us doing the will of God. Depends upon that. We need to do what God says to do. Ezra pleased God by doing what God said to do. Revelation 22 and verse 14 records doing God's commandments this way. It says, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. See, if we do the Lord's commandments, and if you love the Lord, you will do what God says to do. If we do His commandments, then we have a right to the tree of life. And we may enter in through the gates into the city. Ezra was blessed by our God. In turn, we can be blessed when we do what God commands us to do. Hence, the doers of God's truth. If we love the Lord, we will do what He says, John 14, verse 15. Ezra is a wonderful example of a faithful man who did what God wanted him to do. Ezra is our example. One of many that we read about in the Scriptures for us to do what God wants us to do and to do our Lord's commands in a way He said to do them. Finally, Ezra taught his brethren the statutes and the ordinances of God. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 12 through 15, Peter says this and says it this way, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. And that word remembrance, or a form of it, in the epistle of 2 Peter appears 16 times in 3 chapters. Remembrance of these things. And though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, I think it right, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, in this body, in this flesh, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, to encourage you, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. Seeing each Christian in every generation has put off their tabernacle. And thus, what we leave to the very next generation is an understanding of God's truth, so that the very next generation can go into the world and preach the gospel into all the world. Even when the world is continually turning away from truth, there can be those Noahs in the world that will stand there as an example of faith. And each and every Christian here today stands as a memorial to Noah's faith, because we're here. And so Peter says, knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, by after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Peter, like Ezra, put the brethren in remembrance of the teachings of God. Today, we must put in remembrance the Word of God. Peter says it this way in his first epistle in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, as what God teaches. And when we do that, we bring glory and honor unto the Lord and our Savior. Paul writes to Timothy and gives him this command and gives him this charge in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 through 4. He says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, that is, the living and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And we've seen that in every generation. And they shall turn away their ears from truth and shall be turned on the fable. Even when you look at the wonderful example of Moses, when he went up to Mount Sinai, there was one religion, one faith. When he came down from Mount Sinai, he found two faiths. And he made the children burn up the other and drink it, as he reestablished the one faith. God's people have a duty and responsibility to please the Lord via the preaching of the Word. In our modern culture, there is a desire to have preachers and leaders to be entertainers, to appeal to a feel-good audience. But the whole duty of man is to fear God and to keep His commandments, and this is done through the preaching of the Word. In Acts 20, and verse 26 and 27, and here our beloved brother Paul was meeting with elders from Ephesus. He met them in the city of Miletus. And he tells them these words, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. That is, Paul, within his effort, done everything he could within his power to be able to teach God's truth to his own brethren and to the lost. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God, or the whole counsel of God. And yet there were times when Paul had met obstacles in preaching the whole counsel of God, but he kept going forward. Because as he told the mariners in Acts chapter 27, when the ship was sinking, he gave them the words of comfort and reassurance that I believe God. That he just didn't believe in God, he believed God when God said something. See, and Ezra was such a man. God's people need to understand and realize that the preacher will teach things that they may not agree with, but the whole truth must be taught. Ezra taught God's people truth concerning marriage and worked with them to overcome their unscriptural situation. He worked with them. The Scripture teaches that the preacher and God's leaders and elders and teachers must be long-suffering and patient. there are going to be situations that come along that, like Ezra's, that will take time to correct. But the desire is to correct it, to make it right. 1 Corinthians 14 and verses 37 through 40. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write on you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. Forbid not to speak with tongues. And here's the point that corresponds to what Ezra taught in verse 10 of Ezra 7. Let all things be done decently and in order. See, when Ezra taught his brethren the statutes and the ordinances of God, he taught them how to put things in orderly manner. He taught them decently and in order. Paul taught the church the statutes and the ordinances of God, those things that make for things to be done decently and in order. And thus we in this century today, we teach things. And we teach things that are done in a decent and orderly way. We teach our brethren the statutes and the ordinances of God. Christians today, like Ezra of old, need to edify their brethren in the Word of God. In doing so, we build up and edify the church of Christ. In our lesson of the hour, we have learned several truths concerning Ezra, a prepared servant of God. Through the life of Ezra, we are encouraged to live our lives in a manner that pleases God. First of all, as a ready scribe, Ezra is an excellent example for each and every Christian. Secondly, leadership takes preparation, and Ezra prepared himself for the work of God. He prepared himself for that moment. Furthermore, Ezra was a man who sought the law or Word of God, and the Christian today must seek with diligence the Word of God. In addition, Ezra did that which God commanded him to do. We too must do what God commands. And finally, Ezra taught his brethren the statutes and the ordinances of God. In the church, we must teach our brethren all that God has commanded. As Peter said in the first century, he put the brethren in remembrance of all things that they had learned. And may we do the same today.